Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and I'm ready.
You're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, our episode today is once again based on your musings from past episodes.
Oh, no. Maybe I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Well, okay. Too late. Too late.
No.
So there have actually been a couple of times over the past five, six seasons now.
Yes.
Where we've been talking about something else,
mm-hmm.
whether it be decision making, choosing a major, something like that,
mm-hmm.
deciding whether to stay in school or not.
Sure.
And you will make reference to something that sounds like the following. Well, that's a feeling decision, but really, you know, have your feelings, feel it, but then make a decision that's a thinking decision, not a feeling decision.
So an emotional response versus a kind of a thoughtful, logical response.
As opposed to, the thoughtful, logical response.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started thinking, you know, I would love to talk about that separately because it seems to me there's so many times in an education setting and, of course, outside the classroom and off of a campus where something happens. I mean, we can take a sort of an academic example. You get a paper back.
Right.
And let's say you got a D minus or something.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sad, upset, confused, angry. And, you know, if you act on those right in that moment,
sure.
that could have really unfortunate consequences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a great, I would call that a great kind of easy example, and then the more challenging examples are when the issues become more complicated, and you will see this certainly far beyond the academy, and more impactfully, I think, outside the academy when you're looking at some of the issues that are being talked about in our country today, and I think that especially on a college campus, especially an undergraduate place like Southwestern, it's really important to allow people space for both that emotional reaction or that emotional response, and then to encourage them to process and have something else come out of it. Look, we're not machines. We're not mechanical. Now, maybe one day artificial intelligence will and neural networks will be really kind of even more incredible than they are, and they're pretty remarkable now. But our feelings and our emotions will generate all sorts of intuition, all sorts of creativity, all sorts of new insights, all sorts of new ideas, and then we can play off them. But the playing off them and then what comes next is all about when we start to think through them. And what I do worry about culturally, not just on college campuses, but in our world and in our country, is that because people are sharing their emotions so freely through social media that people are going from one emotional response immediately to another emotional response, and they are not taking that mindful time to think. And so to me, I often visualize this like a car being stuck in the mud. The wheel's just spinning and spinning and spinning and spewing up mud, but it's not moving anywhere. And maybe this is because I'm an old person and I'm open to that. I mean, I'm open to that possibility. But I do believe that having an emotional response is important. And then it's equally important, if not more important, to be effective, to then go on and have a thoughtful reaction or response to that and then have something come out of it. So it's not enough, for example, to be mad about something or to be really depressed about getting a D minus on a paper. But I'm not saying don't be mad. I'm not saying don't be depressed. But what I'm saying is give yourself the space for that and then intentionally follow that with now a thought, okay, now how am I going to do better on the next paper? So how am I going to change, which is the quintessential element of education? How am I going to change? Because if I do the exact same thing, if I behave the same way, I will see no difference. And now thoughtfully, that's a logical thing. So I got that. And similarly, if someone is angered by something, I'm not saying, oh, let it go and don't be angry. experience that anger and let that anger, you know, overtake you as appropriate. But then know that intentionally you're going to now sit back and reflect and say, okay, now how do I process that? What do I learn from that? What do I learn about myself? What do I learn about the world? And then how am I going to act now to be more effective and then not have that problem later?
Well, and it seems like the key in that sort of, I'll call it almost a timeline.
Yes.
Like, you know, there's some activity or you read something or experience something or see something and it generates an emotion. Anger, sadness, joy, whatever the case may be. And then comes that thinking process, mindful time, and then comes action.
Exactly.
It seems to me the where sometimes we get into trouble is when the action comes earlier in the timeline, like in the middle of all the emotional response.
That can be problematic. And also be problematic in our personal lives. I mean, even just relationships, right? How we act in the spur of the moment. But I'm talking a little bit kind of abstractly, and I'm not saying that this is the path for every single issue and every single thing, but I think when possible, this is a very effective way. I'll give you an example. So very early on in my presidency, there were some students who were really angered about something on our campus, and they came to me, and they were very upset. And they were having an emotional reaction in front of me. And they were cursing. I mean, they weren't, I don't think, mad at me personally, but they were mad at, you know, kind of what was going on. And so there was cursing and so forth and so on. And I realized that they were having an emotional response, and I wanted to get the space for it. So I wasn't offended by it, and I didn't feel that they were treating me, you know, disrespectfully, and so therefore I shouldn't listen to them. But they went on, and then they stopped, and then they said, well, you know, what do you want to say to us right now? Well, in the heat of the moment, there was nothing that I would be able to say. And so I said, well, right now I'm just listening to you. I want to hear you, and that's it for now. As you said, it's timeline. You're absolutely right. And so then when they started to cool down right there, in fact, right there live, and they started to kind of, you know, leave and kind of break up their conversation, a couple of them came up to me and said, well, could we meet with you again because we actually have some ideas? I said, absolutely. And those led to some really productive meetings that actually led to policy changes at the university. And it was because they went through a process, they got really upset, that provoked thoughts, and then they were able to take those thoughts and translate them into effective action. And they really, and so there were a handful of these students who really had a big impact on the future of their alma mater because they followed up. And that's, you know, that's effective. But you have to give the space and we have to listen, right? And we might not always be able to respond because maybe just the act of getting out that venom or getting out that frustration or getting out that depression is an act in itself. It doesn't need to have a response.
Well, and it seems like it's also important not to shortchange or short circuit any part of the process.
Correct.
So if you leapfrog the emotional part, that initial response, those participants might not have been able to have the clarity to think of ideas or to schedule a meeting or to be able to talk about it.
That's right.
In a little calmer sense, had it not been for the ability and opportunity to have and express the emotion. Mm-hmm. So it seems like it's really a process that every part has to be fully experienced for it to kind of happen in an optimal way. So, you know, if we go to that example of getting a D minus on a paper, you don't want to just go, oh, D minus, well, you know, whatever.
I'm going to drop the course.
I'm going to drop the course, or I'm going to drop out of school, or whatever. Right. Or I don't care.
Yes.
Just have no response. Experience that emotion and then say, what is that telling me?
Exactly.
And then have that thoughtful, mindful time. Don't short circuit that and go to, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, I think making a decision at that kind of highly charged moment, emotional moment, is not good. It's better to sleep on it, wake up the next morning, and then blah, blah, blah. But I think you're absolutely right. And that's why I believe that institutions, formal institutions of higher education, should be places where those spaces are available to have those emotional things. And, you know, again, if you want to curse at me, go ahead. It's okay.
I mean,
don't do it live now. Don't do it now. I mean, let's wait till we get off the air if you want to do it.
Okay.
But I mean, we should give that space. And you know, maybe some people would find that, you know, not a good idea and being disrespectful and whatnot. I don't see it as being disrespectful. I actually, depending upon the context, I mean, if someone's just being ugly and cruel, I mean, you know, I don't like people being hateful. But if you're being emotional, in one way, you have to take it as a compliment that this person is opening up to you and showing their emotions to you. And
it's a very vulnerable
act. It's a very vulnerable position that someone is putting themselves in when they share that feeling. And so if you think of it that way, then it becomes kind of a compliment that they're kind of bringing you in, even though they might be mad at you at the moment. And so you just have to kind of, I suggest that you really just listen, take it in, absorb it, and then see what unfolds after that. And then hopefully something good or productive or positive will come.
So, you know, I'm thinking in a very different venue. This is often what happens with the puzzler.
But like, not last time.
Well, not last time. Yeah. But often I will hear the puzzler and I get very either frustrated or annoyed or sad because I can't think of the answer. But then after I'm frustrated, annoyed, or sad, I wait and I start thinking about it. And then I'm like,
Of course. Because you are, yes, so effective.
So remind us about last week's
puzzler. I just want to give a caveat for those regular listeners. Apparently the past couple of puzzlers have been way too easy for our host. So I'm just going to put out a warning that future puzzlers are going to be harder.
Okay.
So, but this is the last easy ones. But let me remind our listeners what the little puzzler was, and then you can tell us your answer, Jennifer. So there was this great sage who was able to correctly guess the scores of every single football game before kickoff. And the question is, how was she able to do this? Jennifer Staten for the block.
Okay. So she was able to do it because, of course, the score of every football game before the game is 0-0. But the great thing about this puzzler is it's all about the prepositional phrase.
Exactly.
So she was able to guess the score of the game before kickoff. But if you move before kickoff earlier and say before kickoff, she was able to guess the score. I mean, it still is kind of 0-0, but
yeah,
it's fun
it's
to
harder.
Play around
yes.
with.
You're absolutely
with
right.
With the sort of where that before the kickoff goes.
Well, you're correct on the answer, first of all. The answer is because the score is 0-0. And you're also correct about, you know, just listening carefully and parsing what we hear. It's easy to be dismissive, but if we're mindful and just read or listen to or observe or be stimulated by what's in front of us, often there are things that become visible that were otherwise invisible.
So
good for you.
That was a fun one.
Well, forget the fun. I'm going to bring out calculus questions next time. There you go.
Derivative.
Look at you.
Pulling words out of thin air. Integer. I don't remember. Integral. Whatever.
Integral.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Good. I'm going to ask you an integral question.
Great.
That's where I'm going to start because apparently you forgot that.
I've forgotten that one.
Yes.
I think I just shared the extent of my calculus memory.
Well, good. We'll move from there. So next session, calculus.
All right. That's the way to get listeners.
I was going
to
say, we have no listeners. Then you can curse, though, because no one will be listening.
Right. This discussion about sort of thinking and feeling, we've been talking about it from the point of view mostly of the actor, the person experiencing the feeling and maybe taking
right.
action. But there is the other person.
Yes, the receiver.
The receiver or the, you know, if it's a group or even just a duo, the other person, whatever they bring to the whole interaction, you know, the example of getting a D- on a paper, you know, there's a professor involved.
That's
too,
right. That's right.
Who, for whatever reason, they
reported a D-,
right.
which I'm sure they didn't feel good about because.
Right. But yeah. thought that was what the body of the work
earned. Yeah,
had
deserved.
Earned.
Yeah.
And so none of this stuff happens in a vacuum.
That's right.
Either.
That's right. That's right.
Somehow we managed to get through this episode without actually cursing, which I think is.
So let's leave
kudos
that as,
to us.
Let's leave.
Let's stop before we accidentally.
Let's leave that as a tease for next time. Maybe next time we'll curse.
Okay. So you will not want to miss the next episode.
Where we
of
do calculus and curse, which basically might go together. Who knows?
But for me, they probably will go together.
All right.
Dr. Ed Berger has promised calculus and cursing in our next episode.
I don't promise.
He is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staten, KUT News.